1 John 4, beginning in verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. Let's pray and ask God to help us hear what the Spirit says to the church. Father, we do come again to You and thank You for Your Word. We thank You, Lord God, that Your Word is living and active, powerful, sharper than a double-edged sword, dividing, conquering, crushing, setting on fire, changing, molding, sanctifying. And Father, we pray that Your Spirit would come among us, upon us, in us, through us, that we would hear from You today. Lord, You know what You want Olney Baptist Church to hear from these verses. And we pray, God, You would apply this passage to our hearts. Teach us what it means that You are love. Teach us what it means to love one another. God, we pray that You would change us, that we would be moved to be more diligent, more active, more informed about how we love one another. And Father, we pray that our love would abound more and more for You and for one another, that we may approve what is excellent and live the lives that You have called us to live as a church body. So God, have Your way with us. Convict us of sin where we need to be convicted. Encourage us, Lord, how we're loving, to continue to love. Open our eyes to see Jesus. We want to see Him today. And so God, we pray You would lift Your Son up today and draw all people to Yourself. We ask it for Christ's sake. Amen. These verses focus on the command to love one another. And they focus on the God-centered foundation of that love. Since God is love, if we are born of God, if we are God's children, we have the very nature of God, then we will love one another. And we must love one another. Now, I want to begin with a question. If you notice what we've been studying the last two Sundays, and now we're talking about love. So how do we go from warnings about false prophets and ungodly spirits and the spirit of Antichrist to the command to love one another and the foundation of that love? How are those connected? If you look at the preceding verses, John, 1 John 4, 1 through 6. Well, the fruit of what these false prophets teach, the fruit of what comes from ungodly spirits and the spirit of Antichrist, is the opposite of love. Namely, selfishness, selfish sensuality, greed for money, envy, murder, strife, deceit, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, quarreling, slander, gossip, arrogance, and disorder. Friends, all of these sins are fruits of these false teachings that make people fall in love with money more than God. But God says, love one another. Don't love money. Don't love money. Don't fall in love with health and wealth and prosperity. Fall in love with the living God. The living God who, when we lose everything, like Job, all money, all wealth, all children, all health, we say, blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord has given, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Though He slay me, yet will I trust in Him, because He is my God and not money. That produces a man of love. That produces people of love. And so we come to the teaching today, love one another. Friends, right doctrine about Christ ought to create a loving people. Right doctrine about Christ ought to produce a loving, humble, filled with the Spirit people. Doctrine profits nothing without love. Doctrine profits nothing without love. And so we had doctrine. And we have love. Beloved, love one another. And our text tells us where the power to love comes from, our great loving God. And so look with me at verse 7. Beloved, love one another. Love one another. And I just want to encourage you, Olney Baptist Church, that I see you doing this. Praise God. Friend, do you see this happening? Do you see people loving one another at this church? Because I do. I do. When you stay at somewhere decorating for a child's birthday party until 10 o'clock at night, you are loving someone. When you are making meals for someone and caring for them in their distress, you are loving someone. When you attend one of the beloved members' funeral and are there to weep with those who weep, you are loving someone. When you give money to help those in need, you are loving someone. When you, Sunday after Sunday, make food for 25 and 30 people, Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, with very little recognition, with very little thanks. Oh, God knows. God knows. And He will reward you at the resurrection of the just. That's love. That is love. Do you see that, beloved? Do you have eyes to see that love? Do you have eyes to see? When you come and help on Sundays and wash the dishes over and over and over and over and over again, that's love. That's love. And we want to grow. We want to grow in love. We want to be more loving people. That's a mark of a Christian, that we love, but we always want more. We want to grow in love. When we visit one another, when we visit Mary and Hewitt, that's love. When we visit Kitty Hankins, that's love. When we drive to Lansdale and visit Bill Hartman, that's love. That's love. When we come here on Sunday, just show up. Just show up. That's love. That's love to encourage the brethren. When you sing songs that you don't like, when you see the song and you don't like the song, you don't like the tune, these old hymns that all these dead people wrote, and you don't like them, but you sing anyway because you know Miss Mildred loves it. You know it moves Miss Mildred's heart. You know it helps Miss Mildred worship Jesus. And so you sing loudly anyway because you love Miss Mildred. And you love God. You see? You're not there, oh, this song, complain, complain, complain. No, you sing. You praise Jesus. Because you love the brothers, and we're called in the Scripture to encourage one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. You're not always thinking about me. Me!
Me! Me!
No. No, there's people. There's people who love the old hymns. Who it moves them to worship Jesus. And so you sing, even if you don't like it.
And, we got some new songs going on. We got this new paper hymnal. We have these new courses coming on for the young people. Oh, but I just want the old hymns. The hymns are reverent, these new songs. Oh. No.
You sing the new choruses. You open the new hymn book and you sing because you love the young people. And you know that God works through these songs to help them worship Jesus. And so you sing. You sing because it's not all about me. We're the church, the body of Christ. That's love. That's love. Love pursues one another. Love pursue. You pursue one another. Love prays for one another. I can't encourage you enough to pray through the membership directory. Pray through the directory. That is one of the most important ways that you will love one another as a congregation. Get the directory. I send it out to the members on PDF. Pray through that by name. If so-and-so has an attitude problem, pray for them. Pray for them that God would soften their heart. If so-and-so's not here, pray for them. Pray for them. Pray through the directory, beloved. Pray for one another. You know, we love each other by speaking to one another. Like on Sunday when you're here, by speaking, saying hello, saying welcome, it's good to see you. Don't let someone pass you by without greeting them. Greeting them. He is risen. He is risen. Greet them with, He is risen. Say hello. Be friendly. Today, when the service ends, find someone that you don't know. Be thinking about this. Not see if anybody comes say hello to me. These people aren't loving. No. Die to that and you be the one. Let me find the person nobody's talking to. Let me be the one that's just greeting, loving, caring, speaking to people. You see, you be the one to do that. Speak to one another. Love one another. Spend time with one another. That's loving one another. Beloved, you're so beloved. You're loved of God. He loves you so much, Olive Baptist Church. He gave His Son for you. And so love one another. Care for one another. Invite one another into your homes. Help one another follow Jesus. Beloved, let us love one another. Again, 1 Corinthians 13. I've read it every sermon on love, and I'm going to keep doing it. 1 Corinthians 13, you can't read it enough. Verses 1 through 8, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but I have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. I'm the most spiritual person in the world. But I don't love, I'm nothing. I'm nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. Father, we pray for ourselves at Olney Baptist Church that we would live this out. We pray, God, that we would love one another, that we would not just be noisy gongs or clanging cymbals, that we would not just have all prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and knowledge, though we want to, but we all pray You would grant us faith and love, Lord, that we would be sacrificial people who give people our stuff who need it and love one another as well. God, help us to be patient and kind. Lord, help us not to envy or boast. Help us not to be arrogant or rude. Help us not to insist on our own way. Help us not to be irritable or resentful. Help us to rejoice in the truth and not in wrongdoing. Help us to bear all things and believe all things and hope all things and endure all things. Help our love to be true love, that it never ends, for Jesus' sake. And so, friends, beloved, we want to love one another, and we see that this love, this kind of love, comes from God. You cannot do this on your own. I speak to people about the Christian life, and sometimes they say, that's impossible, that's hard to do. And I say, yes, it's impossible. You can't do it. But God can. God can. God can make us this kind of people. Love is from God. Point number two, 1 John 4:7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. God is the source of all true love. He is the beginning of all true love. He is the giver of all true love. Like the sun, the great mighty sun, pours forth its beams and heat and power. So God is the source of all love. Love is from God. And friend, that's why God is the only one who can define what true love is. You're getting all kinds of messages from media, TV shows, books, magazines of what love is. And it's all wrong. Only God can define what true love is. And this is why those who are not saved, who are not born again, who are not followers of Jesus, cannot love and do not love in the fullness of what God has said love is. Did you hear that? Unbelievers cannot love the way God defines love. Now, there is a sense in which unbelievers love. They get married. Unbelievers get married. They feel affection for one another. They sacrifice for one another. They serve one another. They feel an affection for their children and sacrifice for their children and serve their children. And even that kind of love is a gift from God to unbelievers. It's a, we call it common grace love. But friend, even this kind of love, this kind of love is a gift from God, but this kind of love is not the Christ-like love that we're reading about in our passage today. Love according to the Bible. Unbelievers do not and cannot have this Christ-like love. 1 Corinthians 13 says, love is not arrogant. Love is not arrogant. Friend, the most arrogant thing that you can do is reject the Lord Jesus Christ as King and God. Unbelievers are arrogant because they reject Christ. They reject God. You can't get any more arrogant than that. I don't care how relatively they seem so nice and humble. Friend, you reject Christ. You are arrogant. That's not love. Love does not insist on its own way. Friend, until you have died to your own way and be committed to follow Christ's way, you're insisting on your own way. And it's not love. Love rejoices with the truth. The unbeliever doesn't rejoice with the truth. The unbeliever hates the truth, is at war with the truth. It's not love. True love always acts with a motivation to give all glory to God, the one true and living God. And only Christians can do this. Only Christians can do this. Love is from God. Point number three. Loving people have been born of God and know God. Look at verse 7 again. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever loves has been born of God. Friends, we are so bad. We are so selfish. We are so wicked apart from Christ that we must be born again to love. We need new hearts, new minds. We need a whole new nature. The Bible describes us as dead in trespasses and sins. That there's none who seeks after God. None is righteous. No, not one. That's everyone who is outside of Christ. And unless God takes the initiative to cause us to be born again, there's no hope for us. How many of you helped with your first birth? Anybody help mom push you out? You help your mom push yourself out? Anybody? Nobody helped mom do that? Friends, just as you had nothing to do with your first birth, you have nothing to do with your second birth. It is a sovereign act of God Almighty. It is a sovereign act of God Almighty. You can't do it. God must do it. God, just as you had nothing to do with your first birth, you cannot do anything to make your second birth happen. You must plead for God's mercy. Lord, I am dead. Make me alive. Make me, you are like Lazarus in the tomb, and Jesus says, come forth. And the call creates life. So friend, if you're here this morning and you're not a believer, cry out for the mercy of God to awaken you, to give you life, to cause you to be born again. We must be born of God to love. Jesus said in John 3:3, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And he goes on to show how the Spirit's sovereign. It blows wherever he pleases like the wind. God is sovereign. He awakens whom he pleases, when he pleases, how he pleases. We must be born again to love God. Ezekiel 36, 26 through 27 tells us what it means to be born again. Remember last week I told you that sometimes people talk about the Holy Spirit as a gentleman. Oh, he's not going to make you do anything you don't want to do. And unless you give him the access through your free will, he can't do anything. That's not my God. That's a wee teeny little God. We worship the God of heaven
who does whatever He pleases in heaven and on earth. And friend, when He wants you, He gonna get you. He gonna bust in and take your heart for Himself. And that's how we ought to be praying for our unsaved loved ones. Lord, take captive their heart. Make them born again. Reach in and grab out that heart of stone and put in there a heart of flesh. That's how I pray. That's how we should pray. And that's exactly what Ezekiel 36, 26, and 27 says. God is speaking and He says, "And I will give you a new heart." We can't love unless God does this. "And I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone. I will remove that thing from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh." He's going to do heart surgery. "And I will put my spirit within you and cause you. Did you see that? Cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules." He's a warrior, my friends. He is a warrior who takes hearts captive for Himself. And friend, unless He does that, we cannot love. We will not love unless the Spirit of God comes down in power and takes away that heart of stone and gives us a heart of flesh. We will not love. We need a new heart. We need a new heart. And how do we get that? John 1, 12 through 13. "But to all who did receive Him, who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God." We're talking about being born of God, being the children of God. Let me read this again. 1 John 1, 12 through 13. "But to all who did receive Him, who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh," not of the will of the flesh, not of man's will, "nor of the will of man, but of God." I don't know how much more clear the Holy Spirit can be. Born of God, not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man, but of God. Friend, maybe you're here this morning and you're an unbeliever. Maybe someone invited you to be here this morning and you haven't yet trusted in Jesus. Friend, I just want to take a moment to call you to receive Him. To receive Him. To all who did receive Christ, He gave the power to be a child of God. Friend, do you know that you can't love without God? Do you realize that unless you're submitting to Christ, you cannot love as He intends you to live? Have you come to the point where you've seen yourself as a selfish sinner who've rebelled against God? That's what the Bible teaches about our nature apart from Christ. That we are all sinners. We have offended God. We have not lived up to God's standard. We have lied and cheated and stolen. We have committed sexual immorality. We have not loved God with our whole heart and mind and soul and strength. We've not loved our neighbor as ourselves. We are fundamentally about me, myself, and I. The me trinity. And friend, that is rebellion against a good and a holy and a righteous God. And because He's so good and because He's so righteous and so holy, He is angry at you for your sin. The anger of the Lord burns daily against the wicked. And friend, if you die apart from Jesus, God will cast you into hell forever and ever and ever. But praise God, He loves sinners. God loves sinners. And so He made a way to remove His anger. He made a way to remove His wrath. And He sent His Son Jesus into the world, who's fully God and fully man. And Jesus always obeyed God's law and loved His Father perfectly and loved His neighbor perfectly. Oh, when you see Jesus' life, you see the life of love we ought to live. Death to self. Giving to others, giving, 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 giving. He gave, He gave, He gave, He gave. He gave to people who were so stubborn. The disciples, so stubborn. They were arrogant and proud, arguing over who is the greatest. Peter, like Michael said, "Oh, I'll never forsake you." And what happens at the end? They all leave Him. And yet He loved them. He loved them still. He was with them, even though they were stubborn, rebellious. Oh, how Jesus loved.
And he died on that cross and suffered the wrath and the curse and the judgment of God. Isaiah 53, it pleased the Lord to crush him. He was stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. He took the wrath we deserve, was buried. And 3 days later, boom, rose from the dead. Rose from the dead, conquering sin and death and hell, such that if anyone turns from sin and believes in Him, you can be forgiven. You can have all your sins washed away, all your lovelessness and selfishness washed away by the blood of the Lamb. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Friend, if you're here this morning and you're an unbeliever, we want you to believe that gospel. You could be here for the first time and believe that gospel for the first time. You could be a church member and realize you've never really trusted Him and believe the gospel. We want you to believe. I'll be in the back afterwards or up front. Please come and talk to me about the gospel. We have lunch next door. If you're not a believer or you're worried, come and speak with us. Find one of the leaders in the church. Talk to them about your soul. Today, today is the day of salvation. Notice our text says, whoever loves God knows God. Not only are you born of God, you need to be born of God to be able to love, but you must know God. You must know God. John 17:3, Jesus says, and this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. I'll ask my unbelieving friends again, do you know Him? Do you know Him? Brother Leonard, when he's witnessing, he often asks people, do you know Michael Jackson? Do you know Michael Jackson? And people say, oh yeah, I know Michael. Well, sure, they know of him. They heard his music. They know who he is. But no. Do you know him, like, personally? Like, have you sat down and had coffee with him? Does he know your name? Right? If I ask him, do you know Jerry? Oh, yeah, I know Jerry. We hang out. I know him. We're personal friends. Friend, do you know God personally? Not just know of Him. Can quote some scriptures about Him, but you have had a personal encounter with the living God, and He has changed your life forever, such that everything you do, whether your work, your job, your school, your parenting, your preaching, your teaching, your evangelism, you do it for Him, for His glory, for His honor. He is my all in all. Do you know Him that way? Friends, you got to even know Him more than personally. Jesus knew Judas personally. Jesus sat down with Judas and ate with Judas and knew Judas's name. That's not enough. You need to know Him personally and spiritually. You have to know God spiritually. Believe on Him. Trust in Him. What is my only comfort in life and in death? That I, body and soul, belong to my Savior, Jesus Christ. Do you know Him? Do you know Him? Reminds me of Dr. Lockridge. Dr. Lockridge's poem, That's My King. Couldn't resist to have a little bit of that today. Dr. Lockridge said, talking about Jesus, He's the miracle of the age. He's the superlative of everything good that you choose to call Him. He's the only one able to supply all of our needs simultaneously. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and He saves. He's the Almighty God who guides and keeps all His people. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captives. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And He beautifies the meek. Do you know Him? Do you know my King? That's what Dr. Lockridge said. Do you know Him? Do you know Him? Do you know Him? Friend, the only way we can love God and love one another is if we're born of God and we know God. And one of the marks of every believer is that we want to know Him more. We want to know Him more. That's a mark of a Christian. We're not satisfied in what we know. We want more. We want to know the love of Christ that passes knowledge. Friend, I again, my own personal story, I grew up in the church. I knew the gospel. I could tell you I was a Christian. I could tell you the gospel, and I was on my way to hell. And then Jesus actually saved me, and then you can't get enough about Him. You want to read the Word more than just on Sunday. You actually want to know about Him and His Word. You want to read good books about Him. You want to listen to other good preachers, not the ones I preached about last 2 weeks, but go to the website and you can find other good preachers to listen to. You want to grow in your knowledge of God. That's what it means to be a Christian. And friend, if you don't see in your heart a hunger and a desire to know Him, then maybe you never knew Him in the first place. And so come and know Him, that you might love Him and love one another. And finally, the last point. Unloving people do not know God because God is love. Look at verse 8. Anyone who does not love does not know God because God is love. People who don't love don't know God. People who don't love don't know God. That's what the Spirit says. People who don't love don't know God. Why? Because God is love. And we're going to spend the rest of the time thinking about that phrase, God is love. First, what this does not mean. God is love does not mean love is God. This does not mean love is God. Love is not God. The world would have us think, oh, just love. All you need is love, as the song says. No, all you need is God. All you need is God, who is love, but love is not God. We don't worship love. We don't make love the end all be all. By and large, we don't even understand what love is according to the Bible. We conceive, people conceive of what love is in their own mind, and then they say, well, if that's God, then I won't have anything to do with Him. Well, that's nice, glad you tell me about your God, but I'm going to worship the true God. Love is not God. We do not worship love. Love is not all you need. God is all you need. But God is love. God has been loving Himself for all eternity. Did you know that? In Trinitarian bliss, the Father loving the Son, the Father loving the Spirit, the Son loving the Father and the Spirit, and the Spirit loving the Father and the Son. They've been loving one another in a glorious, blissful, delightful love fest for all eternity. Friend, if somebody ever told you God created this earth because He was sad and lonely, they are wrong. That is not why God created. God does not need us. He would be absolutely happy, satisfied, and in love with Himself without us ever having been created. Acts 17:24, God is not served by human hands as though He needed anything, but He gives to all men life and breath and everything. No, again, that's a little peon God who needs to create because He's lonely. That is not the God of the Bible. God is absolutely self-sufficient. He does not need anything or anyone. And He is in love with Himself and the persons of the Trinity for all eternity. And this is the foundation of love. Friends, contrast God's contra-conditional love. Sometimes people say God's love is unconditional, but it's better than that. It's better than that. David Powelson has written about God's contra-conditional love, because contra-conditional love is that we have given God every condition to crush us in hell forever. We are absolutely undeserving of God's love. We have given Him every condition that He ought to cast us in hell forever and ever and ever. And yet He loves us still, not for anything lovely in the object, but because He loves. God does not love because we are lovely. God loves because He is lovely. He is love. He is love. And this is so different from our so conditional, feeble love. We as human beings, we have feeble, conditional love. We have selfish reasons for our love. We fall in love because they're so pretty. Look at her eyes. She's so beautiful. I fall in love with her because of her appearance. Or he's so handsome and, oh, I love him. That's conditional, right? Or we have shared opinions.
We agree on so many important issues, and so we love each other. Or they're just so fun to be with. They make me happy. Me, 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 me. They make me feel good about me. That's how our love works. That's how our love so often works. They share the same worldview. And so we get along. Now some of this the Bible actually commands. You ought not be marrying a non-Christian. You ought not be dating a non-Christian. And so God has told us we need to have conditions for our love in certain circumstances. But God does not have that. God does not have that for His love. Oh, He loves non-Christians. He loves unbelievers. He loves His elect children and will bring them all home. They're in the gutter tonight. They're out in the gutter tonight. He's going to save them and make them His child. And we got to go to the gutter to find them. God does not have conditions like that. God loves because He loves. God loves because He loves, not because of the loveliness of the beloved. And that does not glorify the beloved. It glorifies the lover. You see that? God loves because He loves, not because we're lovely. And that glorifies Him as lover. He does not love what they can do for Him because He doesn't need them to do anything for Him. He loves because He loves. God is love, but God is more than love. As I thought about this phrase, God is love, I was moved to look up in Scripture all the God is statements with a noun. So not God is righteousness, not God is righteous, but God is righteousness, things like that. God is noun, or the Lord is noun. And I found it helpful to think about what God is love means by looking at all those phrases, just like 1 Corinthians 13 describes love by saying love is this, and love is that, and love acts this way. And so let's think about that together. The first one I found was the Lord is a man of war. The love is a man of war. Do you know the context of that verse? That was after our great God, man of war, brought His people out of slavery in Egypt and crushed the Egyptians. Amen. Amen. The Lord is a man of war. And Moses wrote a song to glory in this God who is a man of war. Exodus 15, 1 through 6. I will sing to the Lord, for He has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider, He has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song, and He has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise Him. My father's God, and I will exalt Him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is His name. Pharaoh's chariots and his hosts He cast into the sea, and His chosen officers were sunk in the Red Sea. The floods covered them. They went down into the depths like a stone. Your right hand, O Lord, glorious in power. Your right hand, O Lord, shatters the enemy. Now, I'm sure some of you are thinking, what does this have to do with love? Because I've been taught this sentimental, worldly notion that love is just so squishy and soft. We don't have a biblical notion of love. That's why. This is what love does. This is what love does. God loves His people. He loves His glory. He loves those who the Egyptians are making slaves in hard labor. God loves them. He loves them with an everlasting love. And He brought them out in power. And He crushed their enemies. Because that's what love does. Mothers, you know this, mothers. Mothers, you think about your little baby girl. You think about your little baby son, and you think about somebody laying a hand on that baby girl, that baby son. Oh, Mama Bear gonna get real mad. Mama Bear gonna do something to protect her little baby bear because she loves. That's what love does. Love will crush the enemy. Our God is loving, like nobody's seen love. Our God is a loving God. Our God is a man of war. The Lord is His name.
Deuteronomy 18:2, the Lord is their inheritance. You see this all over the Bible. The Lord is my portion. The Lord is my heritage. The Lord is my inheritance. He upholds His glory, His honor, His praise, His beauty, and then He gives Himself to us as the only one who can satisfy our soul. He is our portion. He is our all in all. Friend, He gives Himself to us. That is love. That is love. Deuteronomy 33:27, God is your dwelling place. He is your home. He is your refuge. He is your strength. He is your safety. Friends, that is love. Judges 6:24, the Lord is peace. Peace. You want shalom? Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. God is your peace. God is the only way to have peace. This is love. God is my refuge. God is a righteous judge. That shouts at us that He's love. He is a righteous judge. He will do right. Surely the God of all the earth will do right. There is not one wrong, one sin, one pain you've experienced in this world that God will not make right and avenge. Because He loves. Because He loves justice and He loves righteousness. And He will make every wrong right, either on the cross or in hell. And that is love. That's what love does. He is a righteous judge. He will always do what's good and right. You can trust Him. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall lack nothing. He will take care of you, beloved. He will provide for you. There is nothing in your life that He has not allowed. And nothing will be taken from your life that He has not lovingly allowed. See the book of Job. He will take care of you. He will shepherd you. He will lead you in paths of righteousness for His namesake. Yea, though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, He will be with you to comfort you and help you. I love verse 6 of Psalm 23. Surely goodness and mercy shall pursue you all the days of your life. Friend, that's love. That's love. That's love. God is the King of all the earth. He's the King of all that. He's a good King, a righteous King. He will care for His subjects. God is my helper, Psalm 54:4. He will help you in all your troubles, all your times of need. God is our salvation. God is our salvation. We'll get to that next week. But He sent His Son to die, to suffer the wrath that you and I deserve, that we might be saved from sin, death, and hell. God is our salvation. That is love. Psalm 84:11, God is a sun and a shield. He is power. He is life. He is provision. He is protection. That is love. Isaiah 12:2, God is my strength and my song. He is my song. Friends, they don't sing in Islam. They've got nothing to sing about. We have a singing religion. We sing to Him. We praise Him. Friend, sing when we sing hymns. Even if you don't have a good voice, sing loudly. Shout. Make a joyful noise. He's worthy to sing and praise. Get alone with God and sing. You ever do that? Just get alone. Nobody's around. And just sing to Him. And praise His name. Sing Amazing Grace. Sing just as I am. Sing Open the Eyes of My Heart. Get alone and sing to God. He loves you. And He sings over you. With loud shouts and singing. God is an everlasting rock. He never changes. He's not like us. People fall in and out of love. No, they never loved each other. God never falls out of love. God is a rock. He will love His people with an everlasting love and do everything He must do to save His people from their sins. He is an everlasting rock. He does not change. The Lord is our righteousness. Jesus lived the righteous life that we should have lived. And we can have that righteousness by faith. God is spirit. God is spirit. He does not have a body like man. He's greater than we are, different than we are. God is a consuming fire. Hebrews 12:29. God is a consuming fire. God is light. He's glory. He's holiness. He's truth.
And then all the I am statements of Jesus fall into this category. I am the bread of life. Jesus satisfies. Jesus sustains. I am the light of the world. He is glory and truth and purity. I am the door of the sheep. He's the only way to heaven. The only way. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And whoever believes in me shall never die. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine. I am, he said. He is God. Friends, this is what it means that God is love. And so much more. So much more. We don't have time. God is love. Martin Lloyd-Jones said this, God, in the very essence of His nature and being, is love. And you cannot think of God and must not think of Him except in terms of love. Everything that God is and does is colored by this. And all God's actions have this aspect of love in them and the aspect of light in the same way. That is how God always manifests Himself, light and love. And friends, to end our time together today, I want to just make this clear. How does the fact that God is a consuming fire, how does that relate to God is love? How do these fit together? God is a consuming fire. Hebrews 12:29. And you see this throughout Scripture. When Nadab and Abihu offered strange fire, God consumed them with fire. When God saw the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah, He consumed them with fire. And Jesus spoke of hell more than anyone else in the Bible combined. Described hell as a place of unquenchable fire where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. How is this love? God is a consuming fire because He loves His own glory and righteousness and justice. Let me read that again. God is a consuming fire because He loves His own glory and righteousness and justice. Hell exists because God is love. Hell exists because God is love. He loves His glory and His justice and His righteousness infinitely, and He will punish everyone who would dare to belittle His glory and His honor and His praise. Hell exists because God is love. And friend, we deserve hell. I, Pastor Joseph, deserve hell. For my sin, my belittling of God's righteousness and glory and honor. Praise God for the gospel. Praise God for the gospel. Romans 5:8, God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That just blows out of the water the notion that God died for us because we're so valuable. Again, friends, that turns grace on its head. It turns the cross on its head. It is not biblical. While we were still hell-deserving sinners, Christ died for us. In our unloveliness, in our sin, in our selfishness, in our God-hating, murderous thoughts, Jesus died for us. Only if you get that, friends, will you be moved. Moved by what He did for you. Until you see that, until you see how undeserving you are, you will not feel the depths of God's love for you in the cross of Jesus Christ. Jesus did 1 Corinthians 13 love perfectly. Jesus is the one who gave everything away in love and gave His body to be consumed by the wrath of God and be burned. In love that we might be forgiven.
He did gain everything in His resurrection. Jesus always had perfect patience and supreme kindness. Jesus never envied or boasted. He was not arrogant. He was the most humble man who ever lived. He did not insist on His own way. He was never the least bit irritable or resentful. He never rejoiced at wrong, but rejoiced in the truth. He always bore all things, always believed all things, always hoped all things, and always endured all things. His love never ends. Oh, love that will not let me go. May I rest my weary soul in Thee. Friends, what love. What love we have in Christ. And as we behold Him in all His love and beauty and glory, friend, that will move us to then love one another, to sacrifice for one another, to serve one another as we fix our eyes on Jesus. Jesus Christ, love's incarnation. God is love, our sure foundation. In Him we live, His new creation. He died and rose for our salvation. Trust the Son for transformation, and then you will love the congregation because you're born of God and you know Him. Let's pray that God will work that in us more and more. Father, we want to know You more. God, we want to have our eyes fixed on Jesus. God, we want to be moved to love like we've never loved before. God, we want to have a biblical understanding of Your love. We want to be theologically precise and correct. But Lord, we want more than that. We want to be moved by this theology to love in action, to going out into the highways and byways, to proclaiming the gospel, to giving to the poor, to caring for one another, to making sacrifices for one another, to being here, to encouraging one another, to praying for one another, to loving one another as we've not loved one another before. And so God, please, we need You. Help us love one another as we should. For Jesus' sake. And all God's people said, Amen.